right, well, good morning, and grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Colossians 1. We're going to be looking at the second part of Colossians 1, verse 10 this morning. And the title of this sermon is Bearing Fruit and Increased Knowledge. So turn with me to Colossians 1. Verse, and we're going to start all the way wherever I told the sound booth we're going to start at. Okay. All right. Verse 9. There we go. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And here's our section: bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the word of the Lord. And as the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we open up the text this morning, may we be ready to receive the word preached. May we receive the gospel goods that are contained in your word. May we receive the instruction. May we recognize that all scripture is profitable for preaching and teaching. May the word spoken today regarding the word exhort the Christians here to go forth and walk accordingly. Heavenly Father, again, I am thankful that we live in a time and place that we can gather, that we can have multiple copies of your word, and that we can sit and hear the word preached. Heavenly Father, may you continue to bless us. Continue to have this church to grow, and may our light shine even brighter in every corner of Don Pedro, Coulterville, Greeley Hill, LaGrange, all the areas around us. And in Christ's name we say, amen. So we continue on in our exposition of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And as we do so for the next couple of weeks, we will work slowly through these next couple of verses. And we do this, we work slowly through these things so that we could take the time and chew on the spiritual morsels of meat contained in the Word of God. And so we can enjoy it, cherish it, and understand it. Last week, we left off at a grammar point, a punctuation, colon. Paul had told the Colossians that he has been praying for them, and that what he was praying for specifically was for their being filled up with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The godly wisdom was to inform their walk in the Lord, their pursuit and walking in a manner that was fully pleasing, not halfway, but fully pleasing to the Lord. And while we all recognize that because indwelling sin inside of the Christian, we cannot walk perfectly, but because while we are justified through Christ, we still struggle with sin, it is our aim, we who are simultaneously saint and sinner, to pursue a life where we desire to do that which is fully pleasing to the Lord. And that is where we see the colon in the text. How many of us know what the purpose of a colon is? Is it? I wasn't asking for answers, okay? Hey, there is no test at the end of the sermon, okay? But is it one of those things that we know what it does, but we have the words, but we don't have the words to define it? We know what it kind of does, but we don't know how to define it. It certainly is an addition to the text. Because such grammatical punctuation is not in the original manuscripts of the text, but it is put there by modern English Bible translators to help us understand the original manuscript. In other words, the ESV translators thought it was a useful piece of grammar to help us understand what the text is saying. And the colon is used for three major things, two that I think are to be highlighted. The first being introducing a list of items. The second is to indicate when the second clause explains or illustrates the first clause. So here's the first clause, then there's the colon, and then the second explains the first. I think the first two, what I just said, are the more plausible way to explain what is happening here. Not only is Paul explaining what he means from the previous verses regarding the Christian walk, he also does so by providing the list as he does. It is a list of different things that the Colossian brethren were to see as part of their walk with the Lord. And likewise, we may look at these descriptors of what a fully Lord-pleasing life looks like and find mutual benefit for us today. And so today we are going to look at two of them that are connected, and may it grow us in our walk. Following the flow of verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, colon, bearing fruit in every good work. And we're going to pause right there. The bearing fruit in every good work. Consider fellow believers in Christ, fellow adopted brothers and sisters in Christ, that in our walk as Christians, part of our walk is described as bearing fruit. The illustrative imagery of bearing fruit is used often in the Bible. And the Gospel of Mark records perhaps the most common example known in chapter 4, which is the parable regarding the sower. By common, I mean a lot of people know this usage, which you can check out another time, chapter 4. But consider what is recorded starting in verse 13 when Jesus explains the parable. And he said to them, "Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, colon, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They're those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Okay, we get some fruit language going now. "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear what? Fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So this is probably the most famous passage about bearing fruit because it has it all for us. It has Jesus talking, all right? It has a parable. It has an explanation of the parable, which we love it when the Bible is so clear that we get an explanation right when something is said. It makes my job easier. But there is the scattering of seeds to different soil and the good soil accepting the seed. And from that seed, there's that which bears fruit and lots of it. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The passage, however, is not the only reference to fruit bearing in Scripture. Another passage all the way in Genesis uses the imagery of fruit bearing. In Genesis 1:28, we read of God blessing Adam and Eve and saying to them to be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful and multiply. And God says that again to Noah, be fruitful and multiply. In these verses, God is telling his people to, in simple terms, have more babies, be fruitful, multiply. Paul, with his knowledge of God's word, is echoing back to previous scripture. God's word echoing back to God's word, and this time applying the creation mandate to the whole church, expanding beyond the physical and into the spiritual. And that is why in Colossians 1, starting in verse 5, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, this is why he's using this language, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Fruit here is not talking about just babies, but those who were dead in sin being made alive through Christ, just as the Colossians. Not talking about physical birth, we're talking about being born again. However, it's not only numerical growth that is to be considered bearing fruit. As if like, hey, we got five more people. Our percentages are up. That's not the only thing to talk about. This is not just talking about the church and fruitfulness and bringing people to the Lord, but also our own personal growth as believers. Paul is focusing on the fruits that are bore out in the Christian's walk, which, by the way, as we can see from passages elsewhere in Scripture, includes being ready with much gentleness and respect to make a defense to answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, there is more fruit to bear than that. Fruit that is cultivated from pursuing that which is pleasing to God. We are like those trees that Costco was selling recently that are one tree, but it produces three different fruits. Have you seen those? Okay. Did anyone buy one of those? Hopefully. Okay, I was just curious how they're doing. But anyways, so those trees in Costco, one tree, it does three different fruits. And I think that describes the people of God very well. Thinking about the fruit of the Spirit for a minute, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And think about the fruit on our own tree limbs. We're like, oh, that is a nice looking kindness growing right there. Or that peace, that peacemaking on that limb over there, it's just about ripe. Or the patience is coming along very nice after you've just pruned some of the branches a little bit. The bearing of fruit is tied to our sanctification, the part of the Christian life where we are conforming into the image of God. Like how fruit is evidence regarding the health of a tree, so is the bearing of fruit evidence of the sanctification going inside of you. And like I said before, and it was quoted by, I was quoting somebody else, this is the aim of the Christian. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary two things that I think are helpful. First, he wrote that good words will not do without good works. I think that is very important because there is very much a danger in people thinking that because I said words that are true, good words, that I don't have to concern myself with good works. And while it is true that we are justified through Christ and Christ alone, there is still a wide chasm between the falsehood that our good works are salvific, and then on the other side, that good works don't matter. They matter in that faith apart from works is dead. They are evidences of thankful gratitude we have for the grace of God. They point to the faith we have in Jesus. They point to a possession of faith in Christ Jesus. That it points to that our hope is built on nothing less. Like, look at this fruit. Look how much peacemaking you do. Like, I don't do that so that I can be saved. I do that because I am saved. The fruit is strong evidences of one's walking with the Lord. Think about the many men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have died, and at their memorials, there's that time of sharing stories. How many of those stories is like people remembering, man, I remember that blessed fruit from that dear brother. I remember how much gentleness that sister in Christ had. People reminding each other of the blessed fruit that the believer bore, thanks be to God. So let me ask you, Christian, is there a concern in your walk regarding bearing fruit? Is there a desire when you wake up and when you put your head down in the evening, do you desire to be a tree that bears fruit that is pleasing to the Lord? Is there a desire to pursue that? Go, yes, I want to make sure all my branches has fruit that the Lord can go, yes, I am pleased by that. Or are we comfortable by going, no fruit? Let me just be a fruitless tree. Let me just hide in the midst of other people's fruit. Or are we okay with saying this branch right here, that can bear some semblance of fruit. It's not as ripe as it could be. It's not as great as it could be. But ignore the sick fruit on the other branches. How many of us have seen those fruit trees that when there's like those beetles that have gone into it or there's some sickness in the tree, that fruit looks a little funky? Are we okay with that? Like on just like a basic sense, do we go, yep, that's what it is, and then we walk away? Or do we go, how can I rectify that? How can we work on getting that tree to bear good fruit? Again, Matthew Henry writes, we must abound in good works and in every good work, not in some only which are more easy and suitable and safe, but in all and every instant of them. And remember, he's talking to Christians, so people who have been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And he's like, okay, in your Christian walk, we are to pursue good works. We should love the opportunity to do it. And guess what? Trees don't get to choose what fruit the tree gets to produce. An orange tree cannot go, I want to produce apples today. Like, no, that would be strange. Yeah. We often don't get to choose the opportunities that the Lord puts in our direction to go, okay, bear fruit here. More often than not, they come our way and we go, please, Lord, not this again. Perhaps even more so, so we must not just focus on the parts of our Christian duty that are easy to do, but also those which are difficult. And perhaps even more so, we should focus on those that are difficult so that we can grow in such a way that down the line, that which we thought was difficult becomes easy to do. Perhaps it is difficult for you to show patience. Perhaps it is difficult for you to show similar patience and understanding that you have received from God Himself to others. Maybe it is easy for you to digest knowledge regarding what God is, that your head is in books, you're listening to podcasts, YouTube videos. Like, yes, give me more of that. But it leads to nothing else. Just seems to be a dam in your knowledge. But it's not producing joy. You struggle with having joy over the knowledge of God. Let us boldly, as people who have been bought by the blood of Christ, go forth and strive to bear fruit, fully pleasing to God. And when we struggle, let's go to the Lord in prayer and go, Lord, help me with my struggle. The Lord wants you to go to him in prayer with your struggles. And when we do, what you will find after working and enduring the race and having people help disciple you, you will find just how reproductive the fruit can be. You see, we have examples in missionaries throughout that when the gospel gains a foothold somewhere, that people just come to the Lord. An actual bearing fruit and increasing. Where you see those videos of nations that get their Bibles mailed to them. They've had to go through checkpoints and people hiding things. And now they have Bibles in their own language. And they're in tears, in joyful tears that they have it. It has gained a foothold and it grows. See what happens as you start to bear more fruit and seek to walk in a way that will cultivate, not hinder the production of fruit. That when you make a commitment and go, yes, I want to remove the bad fruit, the funky fruit, and put in, I want to bear good fruit. The first time it might be difficult. Then it gets easier over time as we become stronger and stronger in the faith. If you have ever pruned, clipped, took care of a fruit tree, you might understand that the work that you do then often takes some time to see the results of down the line. Right? You see the work being done now, and with the hope that it will increase the crop and the quality of the fruit the next time around. Again, may your aim, Christian, be to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord, fully pleasing to him, which includes bearing fruit. And it is our bearing of fruit, our practice, that is interconnected with a growth in our knowledge of God, knowledge of our faith. Paul called the Colossians to bear fruit and increase in the knowledge of God. And, okay, this is the last Matthew Henry quote, and then I'll be done with that. And the more fruitful we are in good works, the more we shall increase in the knowledge of God. Our growth has a relationship with the knowledge of God. Paul previously mentioned that he petitioned the Lord on behalf of the Colossians that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And here it is, part of the Christian walk to increase in the knowledge of God. Not just his will, but an intimate understanding of who God is. This is not only knowledge of his wisdom, but knowledge regarding who he is, his attributes, his characteristics, who God is, that as we see it laid out in Scripture. And this shows us something here, that not only the direct spiritual wisdom is a helpful guide in our walk, it is very helpful, we should spend a lot of time in that, but so is also the knowledge regarding God himself and who he is. That has practical use as well. How so? When we read in Scripture about the almighty power of God, that tells us about how God is all powerful and he is worthy of us falling on our knees and praising him, saying, you are amazing God. And why would we put our hope and faith into that which is not God? So the practical use is, our hope is in God. Our God is all powerful. Put away other idols. Put away other things that will take your attention. Focus on God. We see God is merciful, and therefore, we seek to be merciful. God describes himself as a jealous God. Therefore, we should have no other gods before him. We should not have any idols, anything that dares to take the place of God on his throne. I hope this starts to make sense. Those are attributes, the Bible describing who God is and how there's practical uses of that. When we see in Scripture the depths of the Father's love for us, does that not serve a practical purpose in defining how we are to love others? When we see in Scripture the depths of the Father's love for us, does that not serve to help us understand how we are to love based on the love we have been given by God? I think so. I think so. And this does lead us to the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. In Philippians, Paul counted everything he gained as a loss for the sake of Christ. After talking about the worth of knowing Christ Jesus as his Lord and talking about suffering loss, he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. In our Christian walk, we are to increase in our knowledge of God. And that means we got to be studying our Bibles. We got to hear it preached. We got to hear it taught. We ought to find it part of our life to read books by faithful Christians to aid in our study. And I would say those that are written long ago seem to be more helpful to me as the years go by. Like those that have stood the test of time. What you will find in your study of the knowledge of God is that your knowledge of God and his word will increase your knowledge of how precious the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Such knowledge is a comfort, as the winds of a fallen world want to blow through our limbs, our fruit-bearing limbs, and wants to have those fruits be knocked off the branches, knocking them down to splatter on the ground. We're told that there will be suffering, that there will be hard times, there will be friends lost and families upset for nothing you have done except you decided to follow Jesus. And that there will be times when you feel like a tornado of life just shook you to the core and go, I've been preserving this fruit. And then the tornado goes, well, it's gone. Yet for the Christian, suffering is not the end. It's not. An intimate knowledge of Christ, while it will lead to suffering, it will also lead to glory. Why? Because Christ will come again. The suffering will be over for the church, and the stain of sin will be gone. That is precious knowledge of who God is and what God has promised us. And may all the glory be given to God, who all our knowledge comes from. We have no reason to boast about such truth. What we do know is that we should express joy for all the knowledge that God has given us, including knowledge of himself and of his will. So as we consider how Paul was seeking the Colossians' growth in their pursuit of pleasing the Lord, I hope that there are things we are thinking about right now, that because Christ died for sinners like you and I, with much gratitude, we want to seek to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Those things that we've had in the back burner that I'm really going to work on once everything calms down, what I've found out now in parenthood, things do not calm down, right? Right? And then when you get older, when the kids are out of the house, I've been told things still don't calm down. And when you retire, things actually ramp up again, okay? So instead of putting it in the back burner, going, Lord, help me in my walk. May the Holy Spirit help in the cultivation of good fruit in my life. Always remember that your bearing of fruit comes out of a gratitude of what Christ has done. And because of that, our fruit is to proclaim Christ. It is not for us to wear on our shoulders as merit badges, but it is for the purposes of God. It would be a disconnect to say that the thankful heart desires to seek to do the Lord's will, but the actual bearing is more for Christian karma points. There's a disconnect there. Instead, you desire to praise and exalt Christ. The Lord opens up opportunities for us to do so. And instead of sleeping on it, you seize the opportunity. You seize the moment to glorify God by doing what he commands. If all of this sounds new to you in your walk with the Lord, it is my hope that you leave here and say, I am ready to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Say, I am ready to be killing sin before it kills me. Say, I am ready to take on my Christian duties. Get my spiritual loppers or cutters, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, trim whatever it is the Lord is convicting you to trim out of your life that is preventing the bearing of more fruit, so that we can bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Also, if you're here and you're just increasing in your knowledge of God, which we all are, but say you have given up on the walk, going, okay, this is all good knowledge. I might even be convicted, but I am closing the door on actually walking the Christian walk, putting it into action, using my hands. Let us pray for you. Tell us, I am struggling to live the way that is pleasing to the Lord. And if I might sound cliche, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Come to the church body, talk to me, talk to one of the deacons, talk to some of the older brothers and sisters in Christ here that are mature in the faith, and say, I am struggling with this. And go, we stand firm together. Let's work on this together. We would all love to help aid you in the Christian endeavor. If you're hearing this and you don't believe this knowledge stuff, it might be good facts for you, or you just don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to say to you, confess and proclaim Christ as your Savior and Lord. Make it today the day that it is revealed that the seed that has been planted in you was planted on solid rock. Join all the other professing believers in Christ, we who proclaim that we're adopted brothers and sisters in Christ, and let us contend for the faith together. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, the Christian life is one that is filled with joy, but it is also filled with much suffering. It is filled with ample opportunities to bear fruit, and Lord, we struggle. Our little vines struggle to grow even a morsel that is pleasing to you. If it were just us alone, we would have nothing. But thanks be to Christ. Thanks to us being grafted upon the vine, that we are able to bear fruit in a way that glorifies God. Lord, may it be today that what is in our minds, knowing the things that we know we need to work on, may it be today that we go, no more placating, no more just allowing rotten fruit on our limbs, but going, Lord, give me the strength to run the race well. Give me the strength to proclaim that you are the God of wonders. And because you are the God of wonders, that knowledge of who you are, may we be filling our days honoring you as a God of wonders, both in word and in deed. Heavenly Father, be with us, and in Christ's name we say, amen.